there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We are brought to you by our friends at DraftKings. We will get to them in just a second here. Mike Golick to join us. An emergency edition here, an emergency episode of Stupidity, because we had big playoff games over the weekend. The Cowboys lose. We get a big game tonight with the Rams and the Cardinals. So we need to bring in Mike Golick Sr., get his thoughts on football. But first, let's talk about DraftKings. We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers, counting down to Super Bowl 56. New customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's $280 in free bets if your team wins, if you bet just $5. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, no worries. You can still get in on the action of the divisional round. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code STU, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code STU for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21 plus, minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the TN Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Stugatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Mike, you want to start in the obvious place with Ben Roethlisberger?
Ben Roethlisberger?
That's a great place to start.
We'll start there. I thought you meant Dallas, but yeah, I'll start. I don't care.
No, Mike. Let's start with the game of the weekend. There were two games over the weekend that were good games. You had the game that you were on, Oakland and Cincinnati, Las Vegas and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then you had San Francisco and Dallas. And obviously, a lot of people care about the Cowboys, America's team, a lot of fans, not just in Dallas and Texas, but a lot of fans across the country and a lot of people who root for them to lose across the country as well. So let's start right there, Mike, with that game, how it unfolded. Dallas is a very talented team. San Francisco was one of those teams we talked about, Mike.
Yeah.
You do not want to see them in the playoffs. They got hot and healthy at the exact right time, although the defense got banged up in that game. Yet the Niners still held on to beat the Cowboys. So your thoughts on that game?
Well, I mean, and real quick, it was Fred Warner, the linebacker, and Nick Bosa both got hurt. Warner an ankle and Bosa concussion. It looks like both will be ready for the divisional round. So that was huge, because that would have been awful. I have been amazed. Listen, we've talked about this, again, on paper, and this is why they don't play them on paper. Dallas has one of the most talented teams in the league. Yet, I mean, They're getting shut out in this game at one point, and just you're going, okay, here they go.
Yep.
You know, here's San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, you're waiting for, is he going to make a mistake? It turns out they both did. Both Dak and Jimmy's interceptions turned into touchdowns for the opposing teams. But, man, you scratch your head at some of the issues with the Cowboys. What, 14 penalties? 14 penalties in this game. And it's not like the 49ers were clean. They had 9. I mean, there were 23 penalties, I believe, in this game. And we know that officiating crew certainly had some issues with that. And,
sure.
Oh, by the way, the officiating crew that did my game, Cincy and the Raiders, they're done in the playoffs. I mean, they
should
were making
be, right.
It was unreal, some of the mistakes that were going on.
They had
on
no
there.
Control over that game, Mike.
It was stunning. Yeah. And I, like you, you just said Oakland Raiders. I on air said Oakland Raiders. So later that night, I bought the entire crew drinks at the bar as we watched Buffalo destroy New England.
Oh, I love that. Was there a bet going on? Will Golic call them?
You know how you do. Oh, throw a dollar in the jar. I said, I'll go one better. I said, I'll buy everybody their drinks tonight.
Okay.
So I did that. But, I mean, listen, for all that game with the 49ers looked like they were in control of that game, kind of like Cincinnati and the Raiders, Cincinnati was in control of that game. All of a sudden, the Cowboys were hanging around. They were right there. They were just hanging around. And then, you know, the interception turns into a touchdown. And all of a sudden, you know, they're one score away and they're getting the ball back. So you're like, oh my God. So they kept themselves in it, in a position to win it. But just let's go to the play, okay? I mean, let's
Well, Mike, before we get to the play, I would like to point out, because Mike McCarthy is getting killed today, okay? A lot of people feel like he should be fired, and maybe he will be fired, okay? And a lot of people are getting on Dak Prescott, and a lot of people are, you know, the moment was too big. He should have known the rules. That situational football, it's stuff you practice all the time. I will say this. You signed that quarterback as your franchise quarterback. You paid him a lot of money. You got your team to within 6 points. He had the ball, plenty of time to go, 3 timeouts. He did not get it done. Mike, I'm sorry. Anything that happens after that, I understand. We'll discuss it. People want to fire Mike McCarthy. I get it. But the Cowboys and their $200-plus million quarterback had the ball back, 3 timeouts late in the game with a chance to win the game, and they didn't get it done. The fact that they got the ball back the second time with a chance to win the game was lucky, Mike.
Yeah.
They had their opportunity, and Dak could not get it done.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's the one thing at some point, right, everybody's going to look at the end of the game, look at the play and say, okay, but there's always those handful of plays or more that can decide it. And this one, there were more because there were just unbelievable mistakes and penalties by the Cowboys. But, yeah, you have a lot of time in the rest of the game to do something, and you don't get it done. And, again, I'm not putting everything on Dak. You know, the quarterbacks do get too much praise and they get too much thrown against them, criticism. You know, it's a team game. You know, now certainly some is going to go his way, and certainly Mike McCarthy's way, and deservedly so. But, yes, there are other opportunities in that game on the defensive side of the ball as well to put yourself and make yourself be in that game. So I 100% agree with you that as you take a breath, and now they won't look at this film because they're packing up. And let me tell you, this is one of the most amazing things. as a player, when you're practicing for the playoffs, you're practicing to make a run in the playoffs. And it is the damnedest thing when you lose, especially in the first round. You've done all that work to practice to get in the playoffs and hopefully make a run. And now today, those teams are cleaning out their lockers. You're right. Literally going and cleaning out your lockers, knowing the team will not be the same as it is the next year, whether it's coaches, players certainly will change. It's the damnedest feeling that it just, it's over and ended like that. But, you know, you're right. You had your chances during the game to have a say in how the game was going to end. You put yourself in the position you were in.
Mike, and if people, because I realize like a lot happens and, you know, you tend to forget because we only remember the last thing that we saw. The Cowboys got the ball back down six with 2 minutes and 51 seconds to go. They got one first down, I believe, and then failed on a fourth down attempt and had to give the ball back to San Francisco. The fact that the Cowboys had an opportunity, was a miracle in itself. Okay?
It was amazing. You were like, okay. They gave the ball back, and you're thinking their timeouts and what they can use. They said they're going to get another shot at this.
Right.
And they did. I mean,
they did.
But some of the plays in this game, I go to that.
Mike, they got it back with 32 seconds, just so you know, deep in their own end, but they got it back with 32 seconds, ran a bunch of plays, didn't use any. They didn't need timeouts.
By the way,
spike it. They got out of bounds every time.
Loved the first play. The hook and lateral was phenomenal on the first play and up the
perfectly
sidelines
executed.
And out of bounds. Perfectly executed, unlike the last play, which we'll get to. The other play that blew my mind was the fake punt. Beautiful fake punt.
Yes.
Great fake punt. And quite honestly, the 49ers were playing a defense kind of safe call, and it took one guy to screw up. The guy that was over the gunner just took off down the field. But then what they tried to do after that, run to the line of scrimmage and get them to jump off sides. And then as the play clock is running down, you sprint off the field and the offense comes on the field. There is a rule, gang, and Cowboy fans, you have to understand this. There is a rule. As soon as you take one guy off the field, the defense has a chance to substitute. They have the chance to do it. They ran the entire punt team off, so that's a substitution. The ref stands over the ball and stares at the official stands over the ball and stares at the referee, and the referee lets them know when they can go away from that to run the play. Well, they had to run the entire defense on. I mean, it was a mass substitution. And that was on the Cowboys. They did it while the play clock is running down, and they want to yell at the officials because he's standing in the way.
Tony Romo was so confused. He said, I think they're going to fake punt again.
Oh, my God. I mean, the ref is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, standing over the ball, waiting to hear from when he can leave and go to his spot.
Right.
And it was, there was a delay of game. That's on the Cowboys. And then, my God, the last play. All right, before I get to the last play, I would like to know your guys' thought on the last play. Did you like the play call, the execution, whatever? What else would you done? What did you guys think of it?
I just want to hear, Billy is laughing about something. He's got that look on his face. And so before we get to that, because I don't think Billy really wants to break down that final play.
Great. I love that final play. It worked out perfectly.
I do, but I think Billy wanted to take us somewhere else. Billy, what were you doing there?
Well, no, I was going to say, Mike, you're breaking this down. Is it fair to say both teams were trying to lose that game? Because that's what it felt like watching.
See, stop. Stop. Whoa. Listen, you already at times aggravate me enough.
What do you mean?
That line, and listen, it's not on you because you didn't invent the line. Whenever I hear these teams trying to lose, I want to throw up or punch a wall. Or punch the person
like it,
that
though.
Said it.
Mike,
because
Mike,
nobody's
listen,
trying to lose, right. Billy. They're not
Jimmy's
trying.
Passes, they're, he's trying
they're,
to lose.
They're making mistakes and doing dumb things, but they're not trying to lose the game.
But do they want to win it?
Right. Oh, do they really want to win
question.
It? Exactly. And they really want to go to Lambeau Field and deal with that fucking team. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that quarterback.
I mean, you run the ball with no timeouts and like 8 seconds left on the clock. You think you're going to get a second play. I mean, you're not trying to win, Mike. You're not trying to win.
I'm just going to go silent. I'm going to go silent.
Is Dallas the first team to run back-to-back fake punts Was the offense that bad that they were like, you know what? The fake punt worked. Run that again.
It was a dart, Mike. I mean,
they had a first down and a fake punt. Stop it. You guys, stop it.
They also recovered, by the way, a fumble that ended up not being a catch. But they almost got back into it on that play that Kittle thought that he caught and he didn't catch.
Yeah. It was the greatest incompletion in the history of the NFL.
Boy, you're not kidding. Really was. So happy it was an incompletion. So happy it was an incompletion.
And what was Kittle doing? I mean, seriously. To try to get an extra yard.
I know. Listen, when you're out there, you're hoping it goes your way. Listen, right. I mean, yeah.
So, Mike, my kind of with the final play, you're sitting there. So they have a first down. They're on, I think, around the 40-yard line.
41-yard line. 41.
So it's – and I think maybe there was time for two or three plays, right?
14 seconds left, depending on the play you call.
So maybe you get – maybe you get two or three shots to the end zone there from the 40, which is not easy. It's essentially a Hail Mary.
Let me just say, 14 seconds from the 40-yard line, you're throwing it into the end zone twice, you'll get two plays.
So you get two plays, all right?
Two plays, yes.
I'm okay with the play that they called. Dak needs to go down at the 30, maybe the 28 or something for more time. And then you have one play, which is a real play. It's not a Hail Mary. It's not a prayer. You can run a real play from the 28-yard line and try to get yourself a game-winning touchdown. So I guess from that standpoint, I was kind of okay. Good play, terrible execution.
Yeah, 1,000% correct. If they were decided to because, I mean, I tweeted this out immediately, and most people were hitting back with that there was a dumb play, blah, blah, and I went into it. If they decided to go two plays from 40 yards out, I would have been, okay. I mean, that's – maybe not what I would have done, but I understand it because you would have got two plays, two shots in the end zone. You're taking a chance of an interception in the end zone. You're not going to get a pass interference call. It's not going to happen.
But what you do have, Mike, is you have three very tall guys. You have Schultz, the tight end. You have Cooper. Yes. You have CeeDee Lamb. Yes. Like, those guys can go up and get a ball.
So, so there's a couple of strategies. So there's that strategy, and I would have been fine with it. Now, and everybody's saying throw an out route. They have the out-of-bounds covered. They're not letting out-routes happen. So, and I got my future son-in-law, Ben Broniker, sitting there watching the games. Again, he was a former tight end for the Bears for 4 years. And listen, I played defense. He was a receiver on offense. And I said, Ben, what is there, you know, because he was saying, we sit there and we talk as the game's going on. He said, outsides are covered. He said, he told me that what the play was. They have a play where you throw a slant over the middle to the receiver. He catches it, gets 10 yards, slides down, gives himself up, give the ball to the ref, and you get another play. So running and or passing the ball up the middle is a fine strategy. Because there's nobody in the middle of the field. That's why Dak ran for 17 yards. The problem was Dak only should have just run for 10 yards. That's right. Where you need the awareness of, I got 14 seconds. How long has it taken me to run? Slide at 10, get to the 30-yard line, 29-yard line, right in that area there. Get up. There's the problem. I mean, this is where, and again, I'm not getting in anybody's head. I don't know what was said. Remember, this is coming off a San Francisco timeout, I believe. I don't know what the discussion was, get down, get the ball. But the main thing is, everybody just watch, and others have done it too, what Larry Fitzgerald does in these situations. How many times do you see it? He catches the ball, he goes down, he runs to the referee and gives him the ball. Mm-hmm. Dak needed to get up and find the referee who was running to the ball. He was a little far behind the play, but he was running to the ball and give that ref the ball. You cannot start a play until the ref touches the ball. He handed the ball to his center, who put the ball down. That they could do that all day. It doesn't matter. The ref has to spot the ball. So Dak should have got up, given it to the referee who was running in from behind, let the ref spot it and kill it, and they would have had time for one more play. So I have no problem with the play. If you wanted to throw two from the 40-yard line, I wouldn't have had a problem with that. Sure. But I didn't have a problem with play. Other teams have done it, whether it's running the quarterback or throwing a slant pass over the middle because the middle is wide open. They're giving you the middle because you don't have timeouts left. And then you run a kill play. They would have had time left had they executed that the right way.
All right, so whose fault is that, Mike? Is that on Dak? Is that on Kellen Moore? Is that on Mike McCarthy? Well, Mike McCarthy's the head coach, Mike. So I think a lot of people, that's why they're going. You're not going to get rid of Dak Prescott today. You signed him to a massive contract.
You're not. But
Moore's an up-and-comer. And Mike McCarthy Mike McCarthy, this has followed Mike McCarthy around his entire career. It was the worst place, it was the worst case scenario playing out for McCarthy. When you criticize a guy for clock management issues and not being a good leader and the team not being prepared, and then you see it play out in a big spot at home against the Niners, it's hard not to fault him, you know?
So that's the thing. It wouldn't be on this one play. If there's a history there and this adds to it, then it obviously is going to raise a red flag for you. But I'm not putting all the blame on Mike McCarthy on this one. Now, I don't know, did Mike McCarthy, did Kellen Moore, did anybody in the huddle, did anybody, because this was obviously a planned play. This was a planned play because the outsides were covered. So there's always discussion on this that we have no timeouts of what you need to do once you go down. And what they did was completely wrong. So you can go ahead and you can point out, everyone's going to look at McCarthy, I get it. But Dak should know as well. Everybody on that team should know, okay? The center should know you can't just hand him the ball and he's not allowed to fucking spot the ball.
Right.
He's not.
Right.
So you got to know what to do in that situation. You want to put it on McCarthy, some goes on him, Kellen Moore, Dak, players got to know. All the times when we hear, oh, that's the coach, man, the coach. Man, listen, these players are professional football players who need to know what they're supposed to do. Listen, we learned this in Little League. You teach your kids, what's the situation if the ball is hit to you before the ball's even pitched? What do you do? If the ball comes to me, where am I going with the ball? I mean, this is the same thing. You know you're running in the middle field. You know you have no timeouts. What's the best procedure so we can kill a play and have more time? They completely botched that.
Yep. It's attention to detail, Mike. It's something that would never happen to, you know, an Aaron Rodgers-led team. It wouldn't happen to a Belichick team. It wouldn't happen to a Tom Brady-led team. That's why it's kind of hard to get past that you have this talented team, right?
That
with
makes
a coach
dumb
that a lot of people felt like should have been the head coach in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, at Jerry, because, you know, Jerry wants to be in charge. He has to hire kind of like these puppets like McCarthy and Jason Garrett. And I'm telling you right now, he is never going to win the Super Bowl he wants to win before he passes away if he keeps trotting out coaches like this. Mike,
let's
just not forget also 14 penalties.
Yeah.
Yep.
14 penalties. 14 that's coaching. Penalties.
But, Mike, I thought the big thing, Mike, you'll appreciate this as a former defensive lineman. I thought the big story in that game up until the final drive and that final play was the Niners' defensive line just destroyed the Cowboys' offensive line.
I tell you, who struggled? Tyron Smith at left tackle. Now, he's been missing time with injuries, but he struggled. Even when Bosa went out of the game, they were getting pressure on Dak, and he was getting hit. And listen, that's one of the statements the 49ers made a couple of years ago, that they were going to get a heavy D line, not heavy by weight, but heavy as far as numbers to be able to have a rotation. Just think, a couple of years ago, that D line also had DeForest Buckner, who they traded to the Colts, and he's been an all-pro since he's been traded to the Colts. I mean,
crazy.
They went in with that mentality, and because of that depth, so even though Bosa was gone, they were still getting pressure. They did a great job. 5 sacks on Dak, and again, when you give a sack total, usually you can double that for the number of times the quarterback was hit, let alone sacked. So I think San Fran, and listen, so many people called it, saying this was, if there was going to be a road upset, this was going to be it. Because, Elijah Moore, look at that situation with Elijah Mitchell, the rookie, you know, getting the chance, you know, and producing. You know, he had close to 100 yards in this game, but the year that he had. So, I mean, kudos to them. And Deebo Samuel, let me tell you. He may not want to be talking about how he's a running back as well when it comes to pay time. You get paid way more as a wide receiver. So he may want to stay as that, you know, in case the franchise tag starts to come into play. Because we went through this with Jimmy Graham when he was with New Orleans, when he was trying to be a wide receiver instead of a tight end, which I understood.
Right.
But yeah, Deebo, be the wide receiver and get that money, okay? It'll be
no doubt.
Dude has just been money.
Yes, he is. He's a special player. A couple of things here Mikey A just threw up in the chat. 3 teams have not gone to the NFC Championship game since 1995. Washington, Lions, and Dallas.
I mean,
Mike, they're too talented, Mike.
As we're sitting in the room again, watching.
That's with Romo, Dak Prescott, yes. Dez Bryant, yes. Zeke Elliott.
You keep thinking of looking.
The best offensive line I've ever seen.
And we know that old line isn't what it was. Zach Martin is still best guard in the game. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. Tyron Smith obviously was nicked year with the injuries, and that cost him. Their left guard was getting owned in this game. So this was a struggle for them, for a team as talented as they are. So what a disappointment. But, boy, what a game by San Fran. Jimmy G, everybody wants to get rid of him. Everybody wants to dismiss him. And how quick can we get Trey Lance in there? And I get it. He's been nicked up. He makes some bad throws. There's a whole bad overthrow on the interception.
Terrible miss. He overthrew a couple of guys. Yeah,
absolutely was. But, here he is.
Brendan Ayuk. That one pass to Ayuk, man. Yeah, that was a touchdown, Mike.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was reminiscent of the old Super Bowl, right? Yes. The overthrow, you're going, oh, God, no, Jimmy, don't do that. But you know what? He had a pretty damn nice game. Did throw for a ton of yards. No touchdowns. And he did have an interception. So you look at it, you're like, wait, it wasn't a great game. Did enough, make enough passes. You have Deebo Samuel doing his thing. He ran the ball 10 times, in this one, averaged over 7 yards a run. Really, they're a very, very good complementary offensive team.
Jimmy G didn't do enough. Dak didn't. Jimmy G did just enough. Dak didn't do enough. Okay. Right. that's how it goes in the NFL with winning and losing. Okay. Yep.
Jimmy G wanted it more.
Yeah, he did. God. Yeah, Dak wanted to lose more.
Oh, by the way, this Dallas defense we had been talking up, no sacks in this game.
Yeah.
No sacks.
Yeah. But, Mike, 23 points should be enough at home with that offense. It should. Like, giving up 23 should be enough where Dallas should be able to win that game.
Oh, Dallas averages more than that. So, yeah. Right. I mean, the Dallas – so you got to give – we want to rip Dallas for not getting it done, which you can, but you also got to give San Fran defense.
Right.
Defense some credit as well.
So, Mike, just before we move on here, what do you think is going to happen to Mike McCarthy? Because this, like, the pressure that the Cowboys organization must feel, and Jerry Jones is the reason that they feel this pressure, okay? Because Jerry's always boom or bust, and you have this collection of talent. You got to win with this collection of talent. It's been 2 years. He's done that before. He fired Chan Gailey after 2 years. He said he regrets firing Chan Gailey after just 2 seasons. What happens here with Mike McCarthy?
Well, I mean, knowing Jerry Jones, it wouldn't be shocking if he makes a move. What will be interesting is what happens with Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
When a new coach comes in, if it's not Kellen Moore, if he doesn't get elevated, then do they keep Kellen Moore? Because I've said this on this pod and many others, you change that, start changing coordinators, now you're changing the defensive scheme, the offensive scheme, and individual coaches as well, and the whole thing changes. Now, there may be some that say maybe that's what the Cowboys need, but they had one of the most productive offenses from scoring, from yardage, but they're just too inconsistent. So that's something to work on, is the consistency, and it's a head scratcher. But the bad mistakes don't help. All those penalties don't help. And Mikey, I heard you say, that's on coaching. Again, I don't always buy that. Now, is some on coaching? Yes. But these are professional athletes out there. Professionals. You know what? If they're holding or they're, it's not the, is it the coach's fault that a guy moves before the snap, illegal procedure? I'm not going to yell at Mike McCarthy for that. I'm going to yell at the guy on the field who did it. If a guy jumps off sides, to me, everyone will say, well, in practice, they're not, if they do that, they're not, disciplining enough or whatever. Man, you got to put some responsibility on the player. They're the ones out on the field that are supposed to execute, that are moving before the snap, that are jumping off sides, that are getting themselves in bad position and holding, or bad position and pass interference. So that's another one I don't buy a lot, to say, oh, there's a lot of penalties. Oh, that's coaching. I think there's blame.
They were the most penalized team in the NFL this year.
I know. Listen, I understand that. But I'm not going to sit there and point at Mike McCarthy and say, boy, that's your fault that guy is jumping off sides, or that lineman is moving, or that lineman held. I mean, you could put some blame on it. But like anything else, I don't think blame goes to one person in a lot of things. It goes around. These are, as I said, pro ball players who have to accept the responsibility on the field for what they're doing.
I love that McCarthy. If you heard some ums on that was Billy. We'll get to him in just a second. That's Billy thinking, marinating.
Well, no, I'm just I'm taking looking around, and who might be out there? Well, not might be. You know who's out there?
Who?
Jason Garrett, available again.
Yes. Oh,
yeah, yes. A little reunion.
How about that, Mike?
Do you ever think about muting his microphone?
Jimmy Johnson's out there, too.
Ooh, he's the host. He gets to pick it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. He's the one who chooses.
Yeah.
I love that McCarthy's getting criticized. The one game Mike McCarthy had the full allotment of timeouts with under 3 minutes to go is that he's getting killed like he's never been killed before.
I know. It's amazing.
I love football.
I'm calling it now. Jerry Jones fires McCarthy and promotes Kellen Moore because he doesn't want to lose him to another team.
Well, maybe. I mean, it's not, and you're right. It's about not about losing him to another team. It's about then having to change the offense. Yeah. As I said, now you have to change the entire offense. So you either elevate Kellen Moore or you tell the new next head coach, Kellen Moore has to stay. Now, Kellen Moore may be like, you know, I don't want to go through this. If he's going to get head coaching interviews, you know, then that may force Jerry's hand if he wants to make a change to elevate Kellen Moore. So we'll see. I mean, there's as usual, you know, there's usually a quarter of the league that has to fill slots for head coaches.
Mike, so San Francisco, like that. Listen, Garoppolo playing that game ain't going to work against Green Bay. Not at Lambeau, not against that quarterback. I don't think it will work.
Right. I mean, listen, they're going to be heavy underdogs in this game. Yes. San Fran going to Green Bay, how cold, you know, it's going to be. Green Bay is a better team overall, I think. But I think San Fran's a good game. Yeah, I mean, somebody has to play out of their shoes a little more, right?
Yes.
I mean, they played all well together from the rushing. I mean, they gained 170 yards on the ground.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's going to happen out in Green Bay. Green Bay.
But it has to be kind of the same game plan, Mike, where it's keep Aaron off the field, run the ball.
Yeah,
and chew up the clock, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at time of possession. It was about 7 minutes difference that San Fran held the ball. But yeah, anytime you can keep Aaron off the field, you'll be in good shape. But yeah, they'll be pretty heavy underdogs in this, I'd imagine.
So, Mike, you had Mahomes doing Mahomes-type things and Brady doing Brady-type things, and those teams advanced. The other big game of the weekend was the game that you were on, you were calling. It was the Raiders at Cincinnati, and I've been saying this all year, Mike, that the Bengals have become – and the Raiders had chances to win that game or tie that game at the end. A very fun game, an exciting game. But the Bengals, with three draft picks, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, they have changed their entire organization, okay? And so they are a young, exciting team that's only going to get better, Mike. And I'm super excited to see how they perform on the road against Tennessee next weekend.
Yeah, I this was a game that Cincinnati was in control of, but, man, the Raiders were just hanging around, you know, down by 7, down by 10, down by 7. You know, there were 8 field goals in this game, 4 by each team. The kickers were all money, but because of the field goals, Cincy couldn't really pull away, and the Raiders couldn't, like, get close enough where they didn't need, like, at least a touchdown to tie because the teams weren't able to put it in the end zone enough. But, listen, I'm with you. And you know, we had talked about this and the fact that, you know, are the Bengals going to be hearing the ghosts of Bengals past, you know, because Burrow grew up not too far from there. He knows of how bad that team has been. But I've loved his attitude the whole year when they swept the Steelers and swept the Ravens. Hey, we expect to do this. You know, this is a new era for them, and Burrow has been so consistent in saying this. And, I mean, understand what they have. They are the first team in NFL history, which is a hell of a long history, to have a 4,000-yard passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, and 2,000-yard receivers under 25. I mean, think about that. So they keep that team together, and it's going to cost them money, and they're going to have to be good capologists. And I know sometimes the Bengals aren't thought of as smart teams, but, man, they have the pieces there. Good tight end as well. I mean, so I really love the direction they're going. And they were in control of this game, and you do have to give the Raiders credit for hanging around. And listen, the Raiders did catch a break on that touchdown where Burrow rolled right and was right by the out-of-bounds, threw a touchdown. I mean, the officials in this game, there were other situations as well, you guys, that it was, they just looked like they weren't in great control of this game. And then afterward, we found out they're done in the postseason now because of some of the mistakes they made. But on that touchdown, that's a big play. You know, in a game this close, since he gets a touchdown and there was an inadvertent whistle. Now, I'll say this. I didn't hear the whistle at first, but in replay, you can hear the whistle. It was blown like just after he threw the ball. And the official talking to the pool reporters after the game said it was blown after the touchdown catch was made, which is completely wrong. No shot that was had. No shot that was right. But I will also say this, and I heard some other former ball players saying it as well. To me, it didn't affect the outcome of the play. It didn't. The whistle wasn't blown early enough where everybody just stopped. Everybody played the play. And then it was actually the Raiders thought Burrow stepped out of bounds. They didn't even think about the whistle at first. They thought he stepped out of bounds. But it was an inadvertent whistle. So by rule, that play should have been blown dead. And they should have not had a touchdown on that play. And who knows? I saw a bunch of Raider fans the next day is going to the airport. Man, they were hot about it. And I don't blame them. But again, you have chances in that game to get yourself back in it. So the Raiders did a nice job of giving themselves those chances. But Cincinnati, and I don't know if they'll, you know, win the next round. I don't know what they'll do in Tennessee. But it wouldn't shock me because they're big play. Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, the connection they have on those sideline routes, back shoulder throws.
Amazing.
Are unreal.
Yes.
I mean, because the cover, if you feel bad for the DB, he is in great coverage. But it's almost like Ja'Marr wants to let him be in good coverage and right. ahead of him a little bit because he knows it's going to be a back throw, a shoulder throw. And I mean, it's just on a dime. It's unreal. They're fantastic. So I put nothing past this big playability team. They did get some players hurt in this game. Hendrickson, their pass rusher, he left the game. Ogunjobi, the D tackle, I think he got an Achilles. I don't think he's going to be around anymore. So they were one of the teams. How about this stat? Their starting 11 opening day on defense was the same starting 11 in this playoff game, but then ended up losing then like three starters in the game to injury. So we'll see who's back and healthy for the next round.
But Mike, you're not going to be surprised if Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, they go and beat that Tennessee team. Because I don't think a lot, even though the Tennessee Titans are the number one seed, I don't think a lot of people trust that team.
Completely agree. Now, will they have Derrick Henry back? But they've
actually
been running the ball pretty well without Derrick Henry. You know, Foreman's been doing pretty well.
Right.
So they've been running the ball well. You know, can they have both receivers healthy, you know, between Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, who have been up and down through the year? So that was the whole thing we said about them, just getting the playoffs and be healthy. Well, shit, they got in the playoffs as the number one seed and are getting healthy. So that's a team that's one of those. You want to not have Cincinnati make a big play? Run the hell out of the ball and keep them all on the sideline. You know, have the ball for 35, 38 minutes, you know, and don't have those guys on the field.
My two teams that we've talked about, we know they've been contenders all year. They were contenders before the season, and they're certainly contenders now. And the AFC matchups are fantastic. We just talked about Tennessee and Cincinnati. Right. But you have the Bills, who were waiting. It was like a revenge game because the Patriots embarrassed them in Buffalo, and McDermott was not taking his foot off the pedal against Bill Belichick, especially after all the praise Belichick got after that game. So the Bills took care of their business against the Patriots. I still have no idea if Mac Jones is any good at playing quarterback. The Chiefs looked like the Chiefs for maybe the first time this year. Like, really looked like the Chiefs. Five touchdowns for Mahomes. Kelce threw a touchdown. They were having fun out there. And now you have what I think, Mike, is the best matchup of the year. You have the Bills and Chiefs with the right in Kansas City at Arrowhead with the right to go to the AFC Championship game. What a fun game that's going to be.
And I know if everybody can choose, they'd have rather had this game as the AFC Championship game, right?
Oh, no doubt.
Everybody believes that they're the two best teams.
Although, give me Chiefs and Bengals. I'm fine. That was a pretty good regular season game.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yep.
But, I mean, listen, the Bills, you're right. They weren't going to take their foot off the gas. Everybody knew it, even Bill, and I have no problem with it. But again, Josh Allen was dangerous with his legs, averaging 11 yards a carry on six rushes, throwing the ball, obviously, just four incompletions. But what was it, 29 runs, 25 passes. I mean, they split it beautifully. Knox has been really stepping up as a tight end for them. Diggs has been money since they got him there. So they got it going on. And the defense, this has been one of the few teams, you know, ranked up there in the top 10, top five on both sides of the ball. But they've been a little inconsistent during the year. That's why we have been some head scratchers with them and KC some. But they're rounding out into form when you need to, and that's the playoffs. So this was a non-game. And Mac Jones, listen, Mac Jones, as I said early on in the year, had the help of a great defense holding teams to 17 points a game, so he could come along as a quarterback. They never really had to throw themselves back into games. But late in the season, more got put on his shoulders, and he's a rookie. Again, I'm not saying that in a critical way. He's a rookie. When more got put on his shoulders, he started throwing interceptions. He threw two in a couple of games back-to-back. He threw two in this one. So when I think he's good. We'll see what his ceiling is. But he just wasn't ready to have it all thrown on his shoulders to say, all right, bring us back into this game. So we'll see what changes they make. We know they have their Mac Jones will be the quarterback. So what do they make around him? But the Bills were phenomenal. How about and Kansas City? This game was zip-zip after one quarter. The yep. only way that Pittsburgh could win, they were doing it. Not only was it nothing-nothing, but then the first score was a defensive score.
Yes.
You know, so they were – this was the
TJ
only
Watt.
Shot,
yeah.
only way they had a chance to
Finally,
win.
A good Watt brother. I mean,
yeah, oh, geez, yeah. God. But this was the way they were going to win. But then they just started being out on the field more and more. And in the second and third quarter – the Chiefs scored 35 points in those two quarters. And just once they got two scores up, you knew it was over because Pittsburgh just doesn't have the ability to throw themselves back into the game. So that was the swan song for Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, just quickly, we'll get to tonight's game. The Buccaneers, Brady, continue to marvel. Like Mike, no Antonio Brown, no Chris Godwin, no Leonard Fournette, no Ronald Jones, no problem.
At what point did you all, the biggest question I had in this game, now Philly ended up making it a two-score game, right. But why the hell was Gronk and Brady still in the game?
I don't know.
I mean,
Brady hates coming out. He hates coming out.
I know he hates coming out. Okay, so you have maybe a battle there. But Gronk, at times, is held together by duct tape and chicken wire. He's great.
I would say at this point, Mike, Gronk has never been more valuable to Tom Brady's success ever in the history of those two playing together because everyone else is out.
They didn't need him in the second half. I wouldn't have played him. And Wurst tries to come back on the ankle. Right. And luckily, they took him out. Jensen, the center, went out but never missed a play. I mean, I was like, holy shit. You know, Tom, and I know Tom doesn't want to come out. I get it. But, man, at some point, try and have a heart-to-heart. Say, Tom, could you – I mean, you know, and that game started getting chippy at the end with the Eagles. And I think it was my wife or Mike that goes, if this was back in the day and this was your Eagle team getting thumped like this and they kept the other quarterback in, I said, our whole mindset would have changed. It would have been get to the quarterback and drive him into the ground back when you're allowed to land on him, allowed to hit him and everything, and it would have been try and nail him. I mean, just would have been pissed off because you're getting your ass kicked out there. And Philly was getting their ass kicked out there. But that was the biggest thing to me is, my God, why was he in the game? So – now they take on the winner of the Rams and the Cardinals. And that's the game I'm going to be calling, by the way. I'll be out down in Tampa.
Look at you.
So at least I'll be warm. So not in Green Bay.
All right. So what do you think about tonight's game? I think a lot of people expect this to be a really good game. A lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford here.
You know what this is? This is one of those, which team shows up? Stafford throwing pick six.
Who
or
wants it more?
41? Oh, right. Don't even. No. No.
Speaking my language now, Mike.
Not who wants it more. Who makes less mistakes? Again, Stafford with the pick sixes or the 41 touchdowns. Kyler Murray, how dangerous is he with his legs? As I've been pounding all year, I think he needs to do that more and more and more. X factor in this game, to me, could be Cam Akers, who came back in the last week of the season from that Achilles. He'd missed everything this year. Came back, got a little more, you know, got some playing time, knocked a little rust off. Let's see how much he's used tonight, especially coming out of the backfield. So, and along with Sony Michel, you know, two good threats there. And then with Cam running the ball as well. So to me, it's kind of the X factor. I think the Rams are the better team. I think they're the better team because of their defense. But again, we've seen at times this defense with unbelievable names of Donald and Ramsey and Von Miller, you know, give up a lot of points at times. So again, which one shows? But I'll put more of my trust in that defense. So that's why I would lean toward the Rams.
Rams, Billy, I love the smirk you have. The Rams are going
to want it more.
Mike thinks the Rams want it more.
And we got an X factor, Stugatz. I mean, it's been top notch.
is an A-level performance by you. I love it. Hall of Fame performance by you. You hate us.
Oh, my God. I keep coming back for more.
Yes,
you do. You want it more.
You're addicted to it. You love us, Mike. Just say
it. I want it more. Well done, Billy. That was well placed. Asshole.
Is Rich Versace getting fired, Mike?
Rich it's Versace?
The dumbest fucking thing. If they make one of the Raiders coach, is he getting
Versace,
fired?
Okay. Who? He is. I do not believe he
Versace,
will keep his job.
You know,
Versace.
The
no, I think they're going to move on. I think they'll move on from him, yeah.
That's so stupid. One more play and he's the head coach.
Today. I know. How about it?
It's so dumb.
Isn't it amazing? What teams look at, yeah.
Did you see Derek Carr apologize to him after the game? Like he knew.
Let me just say, it was very cool to be in Cincinnati, a team where their last playoff win was actually, I don't know if you guys know this, their last playoff win was against, was when Bo Jackson had the injury that ended his career. The 90 season, the 91 playoffs, when they beat the Raiders, and Bo Jackson got hurt his hip in that game. That was their last win. They've lost 8 straight. It's been horrific in that city. To see that city celebrate. And I have a brother-in-law, my wife's sister Tracy's husband, Brian Burke. He has been part of that 30-year, just every year getting their head beat in. And he was out in that crowd. And I was thinking of him at the end of the game going, my God, how cool is it for all these fans finally to get over a hump with a young team. You know, not a team, you know, like the Raiders had 5 guys on defense. They signed a 1-year contract, like 1-year hits to try and get it done. This is a team that is going to be around in Cincinnati. I love the fact that Zach Taylor, the young coach for the Bengals, delivered a game ball to a local bar out right in Cincy that was packed with people. I mean, what a great, great scene it was in Cincinnati.
Mike, we'll have to run here. You're right. Zach Taylor, that was very cool. All of a sudden, he's the toast of the town because he got a quarterback. But yeah. Anyway, but Mike, we will speak to you later on this week. We'll see. Yep. And by the way, I just got word from the Bills. Sean McDermott is going to join us this week, guys. He's friends with Golic. He likes Golic. He wants to speak with Golic. They got a big game against the Chiefs. We'll also find out next time we speak, which could be in like 10 hours, whether or not Mike McCarthy is the head coach or is it Jason Garrett, okay?
Oh, stop.
I'm with Billy, Jason Garrett, good old days.
Before I leave, the big question is going to be, Stu, are you going to be part of the Sean McDermott interview?
Ooh.
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Yeah.
I haven't broached that.
It's not really up to him.
Right. Listen, I pitch all these as you, Mike, okay? One-on-one sit down with you. And, you know, if I happen to be there, I'm there. And if they don't say anything, then I'll partake, you know?
So is there going to be a McDermott or McDernot-it segment?
Well, McDermott. Wow. McDermott. How did we do this one?
McDermott and McDermott.
McDermott or McDernot?
Yeah, there it is.
McDermott or McDernot, yeah.
So yes is your answer, yes.
So is there any way that you could run the questions by me before?
Nope.
Okay. Nope.
McDernot.
What is that?
McDernot, yeah.
All right.
Do you want Billy to run his takes by you? I mean, what's going on here?
Well, I know. At this point, I know what takes are coming out of Billy's mouth.
So really? Whichever one will piss you off, Mike.
Yeah, exactly right. How do I light Golic's fuse today? Yeah. Can I go now?
You're a fuse lighter, Billy. He's mad at you. It's a holiday. He wants to get out of here. He's tired of us. Yes. Okay. We love you, Mike.
All right. Yeah, whatever.
You're going to Tampa. You'll be in our neck of the woods. Me and Bill, you want to hang out with us?
I'll be warm. It was either Tampa or Kansas City. Now, being at that Kansas City Bills game would have been something.
Yeah.
But I am going to be warm in Tampa. So.
Wow. Bill,
should we make a trip? Should we make a trip across the coast to hang out with our guy?
Or? Well, I was just thinking, Stu, guys, you know who might be there if it's a playoff game? Chris Gronkowski might be there. Maybe Mojo will be there. Maybe Mike could get flipped through a table that's on fire or something.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, would you do that?
That sounds like fun.
Could I? You want to flip Billy through a table?
Pretty much.
With fire?
I want to use Billy to hit somebody. And on that note, all right, goodbye.
See ya. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope.
This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.